time once again for Community Forum, and we are very lucky to have with us live in the studios this morning Jan Boltman, Phil Mosek, and Lee Colleton. Jan Boltman, Phil Mosek, and Lee Colleton are all with the Seattle Privacy Coalition. We're going to be talking about privacy and transparency issues here in Seattle. Jan, Phil, and Lee, thank you all three for coming in this morning.
Thanks so much for having us.
So start out, tell us what is the Seattle Privacy Coalition? When did it come about?
Okay, well, we are we're a group of like-minded individuals who came together basically over Twitter when the Alki cameras were going up. And so let me tell you a little bit about the Alki cameras. They started appearing on city-owned utilities poles on along the parks at Alki early this year. That's in West Seattle. And naturally, West Seattle neighbors started asking about who owned them and what they were doing there. And we were all online for one reason or another, and so we started seeing rumors that they were owned by the Port of Seattle, that they were owned by Homeland Security. And finally, a local blogger who runs the West Seattle blog kind of got a clear narrative from the Seattle Police Department that Seattle Police owned the cameras, and they had purchased them and deployed them with a grant from Homeland Security. And that's right about when we started to form as a group, because the idea that the Seattle Police could just work with the federal government to put up cameras without any public input was disturbing to us. So we started talking online, and then eventually a group of us decided to meet in person. And over the course of a couple of meetings, we decided we wanted to try to give input to the city about the process of establishing surveillance and surveillance equipment and policies around that. And at this point, we were a handful of Seattle tech industry employees and a couple of former ACLU people.
All right. So talk more about what information has come out about those cameras and this program.
Well, as I said, there was something of a public outcry. And in response to that, the mayor said that there would be a thorough vetting of the program. Which ended up being the Seattle Police holding three different community meetings and presenting a slideshow, where he basically explained how it was, going to work, and they didn't really give us a whole lot more information or opportunity to provide input on whether we actually wanted this program to happen. Some members of our group went to each one of those community presentations, and, we asked questions to try to highlight security and privacy concerns. But we sort of came away with the impression that nothing was getting through, and we decided to try to get City Council on board. And we wrote up a proposal that you can find on our website for protocols for management of surveillance equipment.
All right, and your website is?
SeattlePrivacy.org.
All right. So the cameras at Alki, are they currently still disabled or what? What's the status of that?
Well, there's this is Lee Colleton. There's an interesting turn there in that the mayor instructed the Seattle Police not to begin using the cameras until they had a procedure on file that's required by the City Council. It's now an ordinance that the Seattle Police have to have a procedure for operation of surveillance equipment, and they're overdue on that. On providing that. Mm-hmm. This past week, on Monday evening, I went on a little photo walk along Alaskan Way and photographed the cameras, and I observed that several of them had a blue LED lit on visible from the street underneath the camera, and I haven't reviewed the manual for those cameras, but I suppose that means that the cameras are at the very least powered on. I don't know if the LED indicates that they're being accessed or that they're recording or what. But the other cameras that I've observed have not had that LED on, the ones that are on Alki. So those cameras are outside of the Seattle Aquarium on the opposite side of the street from the aquarium. So if you walk across the street there, you'll be in the view of that camera. It's mounted in plain sight up on a pole. And then there are a few more by the fire department that's on the waterfront and also by the ferry terminal. And while I was on my photo walk, I walked into the ferry terminal and was, you know, photographing the new cameras as well as the ferry cam that's visible to people online when they want to see the ferry line and the other surveillance cameras that they have installed around the ferry terminal. And two police officers came out, one Seattle police officer and another Port of Seattle police officer, and questioned me about why I was taking photographs of the cameras, because, of course, the assumption there is that the cameras can take pictures of me, and that's okay, but if I want to turn my little cell phone camera on them, then I'm directly questioned about what I'm doing, which is fair enough. They detained me briefly, and I said nothing other than, am I being detained? Am I free to go? And when they decided that I was not malicious, they said that I was free to go, and I did.
So, and are these cameras, where are these cameras going to? Where's their signal going to? Or what's the plan?
That is a very, very good question, because the documentation that we have reviewed for the installation of the system initially indicated that the video feed would be made available to a fusion center, which is a law enforcement facility that has members of the local, state, and federal government present reviewing all of the arrest reports, presumably the video feeds from these cameras that are installed throughout our city and other cities, and then doing what with the information, we can't really say. It's opaque. Like there is not transparency in this area about what they're using those video feeds for, if they're recording them, if they're, you know, doing other sorts of analysis on them. So I and, you know, other members of the group are very interested in that very question of where are these video feeds going and who has access to them. In the thorough public vetting that the Seattle police provided by presenting their slide deck, they indicated that at the very least the United States Coast Guard would have view access to these cameras, some of which are mounted on Alki facing out towards the water. So if there was a problem with a vessel or, you know, some kind of trouble on the waterfront, then the Coast Guard would be able to see that through the cameras. But these other cameras that are installed along Alki or on the Ballard Bridge facing the bridge deck or on the Fremont Bridge, it's not clear why the Coast Guard would need access to those. I mean, yes, it's their part of their domain, but there's another point. So I used to serve in the United States Navy, and I've stood watch on board Navy ships. There is a guiding policy document that was issued during the administration of George W. Bush, that the Navy and the ports around the United States should develop maritime domain awareness, which is essentially a totalitarian surveillance state over every port, where they have video feeds, transponders from every vessel, manifests of what's on board each vessel, lists of the crew and the passengers, and be able to inspect all of this data, supposedly for the purposes of keeping our ports safe. But once you begin to pile law enforcement duties onto the military of drug interdiction, human trafficking, like things that should be addressed, but then the mission creep and the scope begins to widen further and further, and then, you know, you have these military organizations interfacing with local law enforcement, and that's a very dangerous combination for civil liberties and privacy.
Didn't it come up in one of the public meetings, I think in one of the, in a West Seattle, one of these meetings, that one of the, about the fusion center, the getting the feeds on these, and one of the Seattle police officers involved said that he had say in that, and that
yes,
wasn't necessarily going to happen?
This is Phil. That was Paul McDonough from the Seattle Police Department, and I think I was the one who asked him directly if the fusion center would have access to these cameras, and he said that they would not. And I did ask him if this policy was in writing somewhere, and he said that it is not. He said it was his decision.
All right. So, and again, your organization has been pushing for the transparency and some solid policies coming out of the city to, in response to all this?
Yeah. We started out with the idea that we wanted to have some kind of civilian oversight of how these protocols are written and how they're enforced, because we feel that the city needs good policy advice from based on technical expertise and expertise in privacy law, and that that advice needs to be coming from independent sources. In other words, people who aren't reporting up through Seattle Police, who aren't reporting up to the mayor, but who actually have no financial incentive and no anxiety about their reporting structure, and can review these protocols for basically all of the issues that we've talked about: privacy, security, enforceability. And this was sort of based on the fact that the city already has about 100 or maybe more boards and commissions that are made up of experts in various fields. Like, for example, the Urban Forestry Commission is made up of foresters. So the city gets good advice from professionals in their field that they couldn't necessarily pay to do professionally. So we still want that. And we also want to see, as Lee was saying, we would like to see the protocols that the Seattle Police Department is developing for the existing surveillance equipment. We'd like to have a chance to review those protocols. And I think we're going to get that. We've heard from council that they're planning on making those available for public review as soon as they see them in a draft, and that council staff and the Seattle Police and the ACLU are all working together to develop these protocols. So in a lot of ways, we're actually in a better position than when we might have expected to be in, particularly if you compare what's happening in Seattle with what's happening in Oakland.
What's happening in Oakland currently?
Well, they just this last week, they had a city council meeting where they voted to approve phase two funding for what's called the... what's it called?
The Domain Awareness Center.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys go with that.
What? Yeah, so I watched this council meeting through their public video feed and then also followed along with the members of the audience who were on Twitter posting their reactions and observations to this discussion. And essentially, the Oakland City Council, I think they understood that this was going to be an extremely unpopular decision to take federal money to put in surveillance cameras throughout the city of Oakland, which is similar to what has happened in Seattle, except these cameras are not just on the waterfront. They're throughout the city, and their initial design of this Domain Awareness Center, and I think the final design, not the phase that they had approved this past week, but the final design is to take in video feeds from Oakland public schools and make that available to law enforcement and make it available to the Fusion Center in California. So we are going to be spying on our children for the sake of securing the port of Oakland. I mean, that's the stated purpose there. But this Domain Awareness Center is it's essentially implementing a panopticon where everyone who goes anywhere in the city of Oakland is going to be watched. Maybe not by a person directly, but by a camera, and that camera could be recording what they do. And the ACLU presented, they stuck it out until midnight when this item finally came up at the very end of the agenda, and pointed out that even if there are these existing camera systems, the fact that they're separate is substantively different than having an integrated system. The term they used was a mosaic. When you provide these multiple views together, it increases the surveillance, the efficacy of the surveillance, and just putting people under that. I mean, this is something that is unaddressed in each of these installations, the psychological impact that it has on people to know that they are under direct surveillance as they go about their daily lives. I mean, part of our civil liberties include the freedom from suspicion, if we are not directly suspected of a crime, then we should not be investigated as if we were criminals.
Talk more about the Seattle cameras. What is currently proposed is, I believe, based on documents you have on your website, a mesh network. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, they've set up a network of wireless access points that are also connected to the city's fiber optic network. And some of these access points will and do have cameras on them. Many of them do not. I think the total count of mesh nodes is about 150. And these are spread throughout downtown Seattle. I believe there are plans to run them down Rainier Avenue.
Yep.
And it seems like maybe there was some, was there one other area?
Ballard.
In Ballard. And they're all capable of having cameras installed later. So part of the concern is that we'll build this system and then additional capabilities will be added to it over time. And much of this is not anywhere near the Port of Seattle or near the water.
In fact, Lee, didn't you post some photos of cameras up in Rainier Valley? Was that?
So those were...
Or those Alaskan Way?
Those were along the Rainier Valley, along Rainier. I observed the installation of these mesh nodes that hadn't previously been shown on any map that I had seen. But they were the same design of the mesh nodes that are currently active throughout downtown Seattle. And this wireless mesh is meant as a second means of access for the Seattle Police, Seattle Fire, and the various ambulance services, where currently they rely on cellular data, like the same kind of data that you get through your cell phone. And because it's the same access, if there's a large event, a protest, a riot, that could overload the capacity of the cellular network, which the police don't get any special access to. They have to sort of wait in line with everyone else for their data transfers over that network. And so this mesh network is, although there was a discussion of making it available to the public in some limited regard, it's currently only available to city agencies that have the need to transfer data. So like for the police, it would be the list of stolen cars or Amber Alerts or other bulletins that aren't going to go out over the police radio, but could be provided to officers who are on patrol. So there's definitely a case to be made for having this mesh network. I mean, I think it's reasonable, but especially the issues around allowing the public to access data through this network require very clear policies on how the network's going to be operated. And, is that access by people through this wireless network going to be monitored? Are they going to be recording what people are doing on the network? And even if people aren't given direct access to it, it's possible to put a wireless network into the delightfully titled promiscuous mode, where it watches all of the traffic that's going by, even traffic on different wireless frequencies, where if you have a phone that has Wi-Fi, these mesh nodes could monitor any transmission that you make within their range. I don't think that they do currently, but they certainly could. And there's no document that's available to us that says one way or the other whether they do that. And so this is an example of one of the concerns of like why we'd like to see written policy documents for the operation of all of these surveillance systems.
We've just seen coverage lately of the license plate recognition systems that they have that apparently have been in place for several years now in Seattle. Is that system integrated into this current proposed system?
Not that we know of, but there seems to be nothing that would prevent it from happening. The system that we spoke of in Oakland, their domain awareness center, explicitly does include license plate scanners. So in the city of Seattle, at last check, last I heard a year or two ago, the city had, I think, maybe 8 or so of these devices, all mounted on police cars. My concern is that the only thing holding them back from putting those devices on every utility pole is the cost. And if we don't set policies now that say you cannot track where everyone is going in public, where every vehicle is going in public, then as soon as it is feasible to do so, they will.
Can you explain the system a little bit more? My understanding is that automated systems, just like the car goes down the street and it just snaps up every single vehicle that it sees a license plate of, and it records the time and the place of that vehicle, and it's an enormous database.
That's right. It's a camera with a computer attached, and it looks for license plates, and every license plate that it sees, in fact, some other numbers that it sees, are recorded. And the idea is that they could be on the lookout for vehicles that are wanted for one reason or another, stolen vehicles or a fleeing suspect. But the reality is that the machine does not drop that information once it discovers that a given license plate is not a match. It's stored. So every license plate with the time and GPS coordinates of where it was seen is stored away in a database somewhere. And the Seattle Police Department, to my knowledge, has no data retention policy. They intend to keep this data forever. When the ACLU of Washington requested and received that database about 2 years ago, it had over 7 million records in it.
At one point in time, I believe Mayor Mike McGinn was also pursuing a gunshot detection system for the city. Do you know what the status of that is?
I don't know. The funding proposal for it changed. I believe that the funding that was going to be used was not available. I suspect that the police department are pursuing other means. Does anyone else know?
No. The last that I heard is that we had decided not to pursue it because of funding reasons. That it was coming out of the same funding source that would also go to police officer salaries. They decided to, and commendably, hire more police instead of installing this gunshot detection system, which certainly could be used to shave off minutes from response time when there's a gunshot. The issue is that these cameras, depending on the system that they install, can also record conversation on the street. And
microphones.
Yeah, they're essentially microphones. Right, some of them are designed and filtered so that they only record the sound of a gunshot, and can't be used to record voices on the street. But it's a technical detail, and it's still a microphone, regardless of how it's designed. And so there are some serious trust issues with having the police operate microphones on the public streets, and yeah, this is also an issue in Oakland, where they actually have the gunshot location system installed, and I'm not sure whether that system has the capability to be turned on as a microphone on the street. But that was another thing that would be tied into their domain awareness center, that they would have the gunshot location and cameras throughout the city. So from the perspective of law enforcement, it's easy to see why they would want these things, right? They have significant problems of violence in Oakland, worse than in Seattle. And so law enforcement would want every tool at their disposal. This is why the Seattle police were pursuing drones, so that they would have an eye in the sky that they could deploy in a hostage situation or something like that. But clearly the public has a reaction against that based on just the connotation to the word, even if it's quite a different vehicle that the Seattle police would want than the ones that are in the skies above other countries and now our country.
All of these devices that we're discussing can be used for good purposes, and that's generally how they're sold and how the public, typically after the fact, are convinced to support them. The problem is that they can also be used to track where all of us go and what we're doing. And when we're going about our lawful business, our government should not be stockpiling information about us. They should not be tracking where we exist, in public. They shouldn't be tracking who we associate with. And all of this equipment allows them to do so. Just because I'm out in public does not mean that my government should be storing information about where I go and who I associate with.
Just about 4 minutes left. What is Seattle Shield and what is its relationship to this current system that's being implemented?
We don't know exactly. This is a program that was implemented by the Seattle Police Department around 2007 or 2008, I believe, according to information published on the web by various companies who helped develop the system. I came across a suspicious activity report published on the web that detailed a man taking photographs in downtown Seattle in the middle of the day. And that report designated it designated itself as being shareable with Seattle Shield members. So I've been trying to find out who are members of this organization. There's a press release from ABM Security who claim to have developed a system for real-time sharing of video and photos for the Seattle Shield program. And they say in that press release that the Seattle Shield membership includes them, the Seattle Police Department, local utilities, the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, and over 100 private businesses. So I've also requested all such reports that were designated as shareable with apparently these 100 private businesses, and the Seattle Police Department denied my request for those, saying that they were all part of open investigations and thus exempt from our state's public records law.
And these, Phil, these were requests from 2012.
That's right.
That you had made.
Yes.
So last year, all of the suspicious activity reports are part of open investigations, they claim.
Yes. And I've also requested a roster of members. That was back in, I believe, April. And although the Public Records Act requires a response within 5 days, they have delayed and delayed and delayed fulfillment of that request, and it's now currently due later this month.
And the current, from the information on your website, the current company that's at least running the software on that Seattle Shield is ABM Security. Does that sound right?
That's information that we've gleaned from a press report from ABM. Seattle Police Department doesn't really talk about this.
Right. But according to the press release there, ABM is doing this out of the goodness of their heart and a potential grant from Department of Homeland Security.
Yes, it said that they developed the system without charge to the Seattle Police Department and would attempt to recover the cost of doing so from the U.S. Department of Homeland Security.
All right. Well, we are just about out of time. How can people find out more about your organization and follow these issues?
Well, we'd like people to come to our website, which is seattleprivacy.org. We also have a Twitter feed. We'd love to have you follow us there. Just want to note that the Seattle City Council has expressed interest in what we're doing. Mostly what they've said is we need to hear from people that this is an issue that concerns them. It's great that you guys care about this, but unless we know that the larger public cares about it, we're not going to do anything. So we just really encourage people to come to the site. We're going to put some text up there that you can email to City Council and join us. Please do.
All right.
Yeah, and also, use encryption. It's more effective than the NSA wants you to think.
Right, and you have links to that on the site for encryption?
Not yet, but that's a good idea. We'll do that.
Yeah, I'll write up a post for our blog.
Great.
All right. Well, with that, I want to thank you all three for coming and spending time with us this morning.
You're welcome. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Thank you.